بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، brothers and sisters, we are looking at the identity of a Muslim. What are the qualities that distinguish a Muslim from the one who is not a Muslim? And we talked about the first and foremost of them, which is ubudiyat, which is being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is characterized by complete and total joyful obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. Not obedience which is reluctant, not obedience which is resentful, but joyful obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we talked about the quality of humility in action, in word, in demeanor, in walking, talking, humility and humbleness which comes out of mercy and kindness, not out of weakness. Then we talked about the importance of salah as the proof of iman, as the sign and symbol of being an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that also not just the first salawat, which are the boundary condition of being Muslim, but of the extra salawat, especially that of the Hajjud, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned in the surah of Surah Al-Furqan, where he talked about standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very specifically. Today we look at another one. And then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also mentioned the quality where the believer, the slave of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, is always conscious of the fact that he will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. He's always conscious of the fact that of the akhirah and of the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is interesting how the intelligent people of the world have always said this and have always mentioned this. If we look at even ancient wisdom, somebody like Seneca, who was a great thinker and a very wise man among the Romans, he said, "You do not know where death awaits you, so be ready for it everywhere." He said, "You do not know where death awaits you, so be ready for it everywhere." And that is Seneca who said this. And if I'm not mistaken, Epictetus also, who was the great wise faqir at the time of Alexander with the Greeks. And he also said something similar with regard to death. So it is not something which is unique or which is new. Alhamdulillah, Islam came as a reviver of all the great wisdom of the world. And of course, if Islam didn't just revive, but Islam brought in an appreciation of our own position in this world, as not as kings, not as people who have the freedom to do whatever they like, but people who are the actual slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." He said that the world is a prison for the mu'min and it is a heaven for the disbeliever, because the Muslim holds himself accountable and holds himself true to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he has conditions that he has to fulfill. So that is something to remember. Epictetus, again, the wise man of the Greeks, he also said, keep death and exile daily before your eyes with all else that men deem terrible, but most especially death. Then you will never think a mean thought, nor covet anything beyond measure. So, in short, he says that keep death before your eyes, because then you will not think a mean thought, which also means you will not do anything wrong, and you will not covet anything beyond measure. You will not want something which is, which really you really do not need to have or you shouldn't have. So there are lots of there's a lot of wisdom in this, and that's what Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is telling us, where He says to us, when He describes the quality of the believer as somebody who remembers the Jahannam, remembers the Akhirah, remembers the death. Today I want to mention another ayat, which is 67, the one after that. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْطُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ قَوَامًا. And Allah says, and those who when they spend are neither extravagant nor stingy, but hold a medium way between those two extremes. Now, if you think about this, the ayat like these principally address those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, and I am deliberately not saying blessed with, because whether what Allah gives is a blessing or not depends on what we do with it. Nothing is in effect by itself a blessing or a curse. Neither health nor wealth nor influence nor poverty nor wealth nor sickness, everything is value neutral. The conditions of life are value neutral. They are conditions. What we do with it makes it a blessing or it can make it a curse. For example, if somebody has wealth and the person uses the wealth as wealth was used by Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, or by Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, or by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, then this wealth is a blessing and this wealth is something which helps them to earn Jannah. But if they take the same wealth and they use it as Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl, and they use it as Fir'aun, as Ramesses the Fourth, and they use that wealth as Qarun, then this wealth becomes a curse which helps them to earn Jahannam. Both Jannah and Jahannam have to be earned. Neither of it is a gift. Neither of it will be thrust upon the unwilling believer or the unwilling disbeliever. It's up to us what we want to do with it. If we want Jannah, we get Jannah. You want Jahannam, we get Jahannam. Now you might say, why will anyone want Jahannam? Well, people ask Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam this question. He said, all the people who said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, he said, all the believers will enter, all the people will enter Jannah except those who refuse. They said, Ya Rasulullah, why will anyone refuse Jannah? He said, the one who believes in me and follows me has accepted, and the one who refuses has refused. So it is like that. It is the question, the choice. Allah did not give us a choice in this life. For example, about whether we will be healthy or sick, or whether we will have wealth or not, and so on and so forth. Allah didn't give us these choices. These are the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that to us in keeping with His wisdom. But what Allah gave us a choice about is whether we want Jannah or Jahannam. That Allah left it to us. You want Jannah, you take Jannah. You want Jahannam, you take Jahannam. So I think that is something very important to keep in mind and not get fooled by shaitan and by whatever temptation he puts in our way. So Allah is saying, as one of the qualities of the believers, one of the signs of the identity of the Muslim, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْطُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ قَوَامًا. And those who, when they spend, are neither extravagant nor stingy, but hold a medium way between those extremes. Now, that's why I'm saying that when we say these are tests. So, if someone has been given wealth, then Allah is saying the believer, the sign of the believer is that he is generous. He spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not stingy, but he is also not extravagant. So, he doesn't show off. He doesn't throw money around. He doesn't buy things for so-called status that he believes they bestow on him. So, this is a quality. So, we have to think about this and say, where do I fit into this? Am I among the people that Allah has mentioned and praised? Or am I indulging in extravagance and incurring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah has called the extravagant people the brothers of shaitan. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra, Allah said that the extravagant people are the brothers and sisters of shaitan. Now imagine somebody is a brother of shaitan, what do you think? Is that person going to Jannah or Jahannam? So, I think that is something which we should keep in mind and remember and think about often and say that let me not do something which angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and extravagance angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, also bukhl. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said this is the umul khabais, this is the worst and the mother of all filth and all evil. And that is to be stingy, not to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody comes to you asking for help, you don't give him help. Even though you can do, you don't do it. Or you give it in a very small way, which is of no use to that person. So, stinginess is a very big, it's one of the great sicknesses of the heart. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. So, no stinginess and no extravagance. Both are extremes. The believer is the one who is on the middle path between these two. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to reflect on these qualities of believers that we are talking about and to work to bring them into our lives. I keep on saying this again and again. The whole purpose of reflection on the Quran is not intellectualizing. It is to think about it and say, what of this is in my life? Because at the end of all the intellectualizing, if I am not able to bring that quality into my life, then that intellectualizing of mine is worthless. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our lives worthwhile and lives which we are, that He is pleased with. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika.